Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We bring in the head man, the Georgia baseball team, the skipper, Scott Strickland. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Good morning, guys.
I've asked you this before. How come you're a coach in college, but you're a manager in the pros?
That's a really good question. I've asked that myself. I have no idea where that comes from. But you know what? In professional baseball, they don't call anybody coach. It's all by your first name or nickname or no one calls Brian Snitker coach. It's Snit or Brian or Skip or whatever, but you don't say coach in pro. I learned that right away. My first coach was Ray Smith, and I called him coach, and he stopped me in my track and goes, do not call me coach. I'm Smitty. And so I don't know. That's just the way it is.
If you do that in college, weird. Though, it might be like a bad, like disrespectful maybe even if you –
Yeah, I mean, guys, you know, the older guys are a lot looser with me, and they'll call me Strick or even Strickland sometimes, and that's fine. The older guys are comfortable enough to do it. The freshmen are too scared to do that, but once guys get comfortable enough to do it, they're fine.
Anyway, yeah, it's kind of a weird phenomenon. But anyway, congratulations off to an 11-2 start. Man, the starting pitching, and CJ was good again yesterday, Elliott on Tuesday. The starting pitching all season long has been tremendous.
Yeah, those guys have done a great job, and it takes a lot of pressure off that bullpen. And, you know, CJ gave us six yesterday. We were trying to get seven out of him, and then that last inning, his pitch count got a little bit higher. I think 26 pitches in that last inning, and that got him over 85. So we took him out, but these guys are all ready to go 100 now, and I think you'll see us try to get to 95 or 100 this weekend with these guys and let them go a little bit longer and get ready for the SEC.
When a pitcher throws 100 pitches in a game, how many – so I know, you know, there's all obviously warming up and getting ready and all that stuff. So how many – like, you say 100 pitches, but how many – so it's really about 200? Is that what you would get for, any team with a starting pitcher? If he throws 100 pitches, he's really throwing about 200, or is that too much? Is that too many?
That's probably accurate when you put all the stuff in the bullpen and the in-between – inning stuff, but you know, the bottom line is what we're looking at is just the stress level. You know, when you're in the bullpen, your last five throws are probably very intense, and then in between innings, Coach Kenny really gets on those guys to make sure that they're, you know, going at it, getting game ready in between innings, but you're still not replicating the intensity that you have when the batter steps in the box. So really we're looking at stressful pitches, and you know, 100 pitches. If you're going 100 in the seven inning game, you're cruising pretty good. If you're going 100 in a four inning game, then you are struggling and you need to get out of there really quick. So, you know, we just kind of judge that. If a guy is, you know, like Tony the other day, Tony threw 79 pitches in four innings, but I mean, just he was walking, he was behind in the count, and it was just kind of abnormal for him this year. So we got him out of there just because his pitches were stressful pitches.
That's a good point. I've never really thought about that too. So yeah, not every pitch is created the same, so that does make a lot of sense. And that was weird about CJ's last inning, because I think you said he threw 26 pitches, and that was to only what, four batters, I believe.
Yeah, every single guy went to 3-2 count.
Yeah,
every guy had a good at bat, and every guy battled a little bit. There was a couple foul balls in there too, and you know, it was a sneaky long inning, even though they only had one base runner. It you kind of looked down, it's like, man, he threw 26 pitches that inning, so that got him to 85. And, you know, going into that inning, he's sitting there right around 60 and feeling pretty good about getting two more out of him. And next thing you know, we had to go to Ryan Webb.
CJ's been such a great story. So now that we've gotten rid, now that we're through, I guess, well, technically, I guess in April we maybe still have to go over to Kennesaw, but we're done with the Tuesday, Wednesday midweekers, where mm-hmm. we only have one midweek game the rest of the year, except for the makeup there with Kennesaw. So how will you guys want to use Elliott and CJ?
Well, we haven't made the final decision yet, but we're still thinking about putting CJ in the weekend rotation. And that could happen at South Carolina. We haven't made that final decision. We'll kind of see how this weekend goes with Presbyterian. Will Proctor is back and ready to go. I mean, it's been kind of funny to watch him over the last week. You know, he was down in the dumps. He's a new pitcher, doesn't, you know, understand the arm yet, and pitchers' arms get sore. And he was just sore last week. And, I mean, you thought the world was going to end. He thought, my career's over. And the Will, you're going to be fine. And the trainers and the doctors were all telling him you're good. And then it was Tuesday. He popped his head in the locker room, the coach's locker room, said, "Coach, I feel great." And he had a big smile on his face. And so it's just he made a good recovery, what we thought he would do. And so he's going to be back and, you know, trying to fight back. We'll have to get his pitch count back up. And then also Wilcox to see how he does. So Timmy Elliott right now is a midweek starter, and he's done a great job. And one of those other guys, it could be Wilcox, it could be CJ, it could be Proctor, could also be throwing a midweek start.
You mentioned possibly bringing CJ on to the weekend rotation. Does him, you know, his ability in the field and all that, being a regular starter, will that impact that decision at all? Because I know he's an incredible athlete, but that might be a lot for him to do. Are you confident in his ability to be able to, you know, play, you know, in the outfield two nights and then be a starting pitcher on Saturday or something?
Yeah, it may, and that's why we originally looked at him pitching on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, is it allows him to play over the weekend. And, you know, just he hasn't found his stride swinging the bat yet. He just hasn't gotten comfortable in the batter's box. We need to try to get him some at-bats this weekend, but it just hasn't clicked yet offensively. And then, you know, Tucker Maxwell starting to come on a little bit. He hit hit a home run last night, but starting to get on base more, stole four bases on Tuesday. So Tucker Maxwell is starting to pick it up. So that's a good sign. And then Randon Jernigan has played really well also. So seeing those guys out there kind of fill that void that, you know, CJ's been scuffling a little bit offensively, we'd like to get him going. But if he does go into the weekend rotation, then that does kind of change a little bit how we can use him.
Did a game like Tuesday, you know, put a little bit extra hair on these guys' chests, or is it just you got to fight through it and everybody has to deal with it?
You just got to fight through it. And the bottom line is you've got to fight through it, and that was the message to us, you know, to our coaching staff gave to the hitters is, fellas, we need to continue to get better. It's never perfect. You're never a finished product. You got to continue to fight and get better and better and better. And, you know, we won 11-3 on Tuesday, and I didn't think we played worth a darn. And I communicated that with the guys. I could do not be satisfied with that scoreboard because we left 19 guys on base and had the bases loaded four times, and I think only scored a collective two runs with the bases loaded four different times. And that's going to get you beat when you're playing a team that can really pitch and has a few guys that can hit. That's going to get you beat, and that's what we tried to communicate with them. And, you know, yesterday was a strange day because of the time start, and it is nearly impossible to see that time of day. That's why we don't do starts normally that time when the sun's out like that. You can't see. And those shadows come over there, and you can see their third baseman almost got blinded by that one ball.
Yep.
And it's just a really tough time to play. And you really got to battle and compete. And it's great to be a pitcher that time of day, but the hitters really got to battle and compete there.
By the way, did we have replay yesterday? Because at the end of the game, it looked like their coach was kind of wanting to see if maybe that was a double, if that double play was turned.
Yeah, we did have replay, but only two cameras. So when you have two cameras, it's really tough. We talked about that at home plate beforehand is, hey, we do have replay, but just heads up, it is really hard to overturn anything with the two cameras because you don't have a bunch of angles. And I don't know if you saw, but Chris Gilmore, who does highlights, and he actually got that last play.
Okay.
And they got it right. I mean, and Shep was like, "Coach, yeah, I was on the base easy." And it was closer than Shep made it sound. I thought, when I saw it live, I thought he was out. And I saw the umpire call him out, but he didn't make a loud out call, if you know what I mean. He didn't, you know, point, and he just kind of made a casual point in a call. Coach Case didn't see that. I think from his angle, he thought that Shep was already past the base. You know, he's on the second base side when he made the fielding play, and I think he thought he was past the base, and he didn't even think that there was an out at second. And then all of a sudden people start coming on the field. He looked around, what the heck's going on? It was an odd ending. And when he came walking over, I knew kind of what was going through his mind. I said, "Hey, Jim, you can challenge that if you want." And he's like, "Well, I didn't even think he was close to the base." I go, "Jim, I'm biased, but he was on the bag. But you can look at it if you want." And then their first base coach kind of confirmed me, "Coach, I think he got it." So if he was getting ready to yell across the field to challenge, that's why everybody stopped. It's kind of an odd ending, but he made the decision that to not challenge it. And it wouldn't have held up because he, first of all, I don't think you would have seen it with the two cameras, But with Chris Gilmore, he caught it. He did get that double play.
Good for Chris. Good job there. He does a terrific job. And so how many – so for the SEC games and that kind of thing, what is the difference in cameras?
Well, there's no protocol to say you have to have so many cameras. We'll normally have at least four, sometimes five,
okay,
for SEC games. But when you think about, like, last night we had a basketball game.
Right.
So we've only got so many cameras on campus. It's not like ESPN doesn't bring the cameras in. They're our cameras. So when you've got softball, gymnastics, women's basketball, men's basketball, and baseball going on, sometimes you're going to be shorthanded. And that's what's kind of happened with a lot of our games. We've had two-camera broadcasts because – there's cameras being used at other facilities, and that's just the way it is. And if you watch games, you know, if I'm watching games from, you know, around the league, everyone else is in the same boat. Sometimes you're only seeing one camera from behind home plate, even in the SEC, this early on. Once we get into the league, pretty much feel comfortable that we're going to have at least four cameras at every game.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people realize, now I'm not talking about like if basketball or football is on one of the networks or whatever, but like a game like last night, it's being produced, I guess, out of Sanford Stadium where the studio, or where they have their big production studio. So if people are saying, well, what about, why does that matter whether there's a basketball game or, you know, a baseball game going on at the same time? And that's the difference, is that there's more than one thing going on, so they have to kind of accommodate that. And it's not like there's a crew at the, you know, they used to park those big trucks out at the stadium and all that stuff, but it's a little bit different now with the way all that works. Because I do get asked that question about replay a lot, and I have to say I'm not even positive. Let me check with Lake, or let me check with Coach on all of that, because it changes from game to game. But the big games and the SEC games, there's definitely, I guess, more protocol. And then the replays will be done out of Birmingham, right? So that's not even anything that we have to worry about here.
Right. It'll be just like it happens in football. If a play is challenged, then the umpires just go to a headset, and they'll be talking to an umpire sitting in Birmingham watching the games. And I think it'll help move it faster. The umpires don't have to go off the field. Plus, as soon as a play is being challenged, those umpires, I think there's going to be three stationed watching all the games at once, and as soon as a play is in question, they're already going to be watching the replay, and they can control it from there instead of having, you know, the in-house people do it. So I think it's going to help. It also helps to take it out of the hands of the guys who made the call, because as humans, we don't want to be wrong. And if it's really, really close, and I made an out call, but he's actually safe, but it's really close, but I made that out call, do I want to change my own call? And that's one of the arguments that we kind of had to get this away from someone else, you know, let someone else in Birmingham do it. And I think it just takes a little bit of the human element out of it, which I think is a good thing when it comes to getting it right. And at the end of the day, we all want to get it right.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland along with us.
Coach, with it being really chilly this week and everything, and it was warming up a little bit, how hard is that for the guys to get adjusted to all that? I know, like, back when I played, it's not the most fun thing in the world being in the outfield when it's like 40 degrees out there. Is that hard for the guys?
Like Tucker Maxwell standing in a wind tunnel for three hours.
Like, is that hard to get adjusted to?
It's really hard. And, you know, the biggest thing is keeping your hands warm. When you're trying to hit and you've got cold hands, it is tough. And you'll watch, you know, in the last 2 days, you look at our infielders in between pitches, they got their hands in their back pockets. They're just trying to keep their throwing hand warm as much as possible. Yesterday was much better, because we did play it in the sunlight, and it was a little warmer. The wind wasn't as bad. Tuesday was really tough. And when you're playing, there's no sunlight. The wind was blowing 15 to 20 mile an hour, and it's 38 degrees. I mean, that's awful. That's not fun to play in. But unfortunately, with the way our season is, the way it's set, you're going to have to play some games like that from time to time. And the message I always give the guys is, hey, both teams are playing in the same conditions. We just got to be tougher. We got to find a way to get through it. Tough through it, and our guys did.
Coach, we usually play Presbyterian on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, so how did they end up on the weekend schedule here in the non-conference?
Well, it's just one of those things that you talk with coaches throughout, and you just try to to get three-game series as you go, and you do it usually 2 years in advance. So Elton Pollock's a good friend, and we talked 2 years ago about them coming over for a weekend. They're close, so it's good for them. It makes sense for them, and they're a good team. They beat Alabama a game two weekends ago when they played them in a series. So it's going to be a challenge. They're a good team. They're well coached, and they're close by. So budget-wise for them, I mean, a lot of mid-major teams, they're thinking about their budget. So it's a smaller, shorter trip. They'll come over tomorrow. They won't come over Thursday like most teams do. They'll just drive over in the morning. They don't have to spend an extra night in a hotel. And it's just a little cheaper trip for them, and it makes sense because they're close. They've got some Georgia kids. So we'll have a little bit of a crowd from them coming as well. So it just makes sense for everybody.
Oh, these kids from Georgia playing against it.
You don't like it, but it is what it is. A whole bunch of them, and they're all spread out, and it's just the way it is.
Coach, so did Alabama State go back to Montgomery, or did they go over to Birmingham after our like, do you know?
Yeah, they went back to Montgomery.
Oh,
and went back to Montgomery and got a quick sleep in and then went back over and played in Birmingham. So that's again the life of a mid-major. That's what you do, and it's all budget based. But that's what I talked to their coach right beforehand of what they were going to do, and that's what he said they were doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, like you said, that guy's done a good job for them.
Yeah,
too,
absolutely.
He was at Bethune-Cookman and had some good players there.
No question. They've done a great job there, and they played Samford really tough last night. To be honest with you, a lot of Auburn and Alabama, those guys don't like playing Alabama State because that's they really get the hackles up when they get a chance to play those guys, and so it's tough to schedule them because they're really really good, and so we're fortunate to play pretty well, and we got some midweek pitching that we're able to take advantage and steal some bases, but they've got a good program.
All right, the loss of Tucker Bradley aside, if you were able to look into your crystal ball 13 games in like we are now, are you where you thought we would be? What you might want to see a little bit more before conference play begins? How would you assess things so far in the first 13 games?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to Jim Case last night. We're 11-2 or 10-2 before the game, and a lot of people wish they had our problems. I still am not thrilled with the way that we're playing. I think we're pitching it pretty good. I still think we can pitch it better. I think we're walking too many guys. Defensively, I think we've been good, not great. I know that we can be better there. And offensively, I think we've just been okay at best. So we've still got a ways to go. I think our best work is ahead of us. Sitting at 11-2, a lot of people want to be 11-2 right now. I think we should be 13-0. And I'm disappointed in the two losses that we have. And I want our guys to be disappointed in that. I want our guys to try to win every single game. And it's never happened before, and it never will happen, but that's going to be our goal. So, I give us a B so far. If I'm grading it, I think we're a B team right now. I think we got a chance to be better, no question about it. I think we got a chance to be an A team, but I don't think we're playing that way yet. And there's a lot of teams in the SEC. If you look around and look at the scores and the records, there's a lot of teams trying to find out who they are right now, and I think we're in that same boat. But once we get in the league, 11 teams are ranked right now. It's the most evenly matched I think this league has ever been. So it's going to be really interesting once we get in the league and we all start playing each other.
Going in the league play, how's it going to be a little different this year maybe? Coming off the national seed, being ranked now, where this time last year it was a little bit more under the radar. I'm sure the expectations inside were high, but outside there wasn't probably as much expectation as there is this season. How do you think the guys are going to be able to handle that?
I think they'll handle it fine. I mean, again, when you have a veteran group, we have a bunch of juniors and seniors that play. I don't think that'll be much of an issue. And in this league, no one ever overlooks anybody. Every single weekend is like a super regional weekend when you're playing somebody, and it doesn't matter if they're in first or they're in 14th. This league can beat you up. So everyone is aware of everybody else. So it's not like people have us circled this year and they didn't have it last year. Everyone's always circled every single week, 10 weeks in a row. And again, having an older group, I think they handle those expectations fine. And they know that we need to be better than what we're playing right now. And that's the challenge kind of within the group, is to make sure that we continue to get better.
All right, Coach. Good luck this weekend. I was going to ask, I asked you about Bradley in the postgame show last night. I know you can't, you're probably tired of talking about him, and you mentioned Proctor, so I think we covered everything as far as the guys that may not be available or not. So, and you said Bradley decision's got to be made on him in the next couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe this week, within the next week, we'll make the decision of what we're ultimately going to do, and it's going to be, you know, him and his family, and you know, we get trainers and doctors, and all of us coaches. We'll just put our heads together and make the decision that's best for him. It's not looking great, you know, as far as this year goes, but there's still a possibility that could happen. He's a tough kid, but it's a pretty significant shoulder injury, and we just have to figure out what's best for him in the long run. And so we'll probably make that decision here within the next week of what direction we're going to go.
If, and I say if, there's surgery involved, you want to go ahead and get that done as quickly as possible, though, right?
Yeah, if he does have one, the type of surgery that we have, it's about a 5 to 6 month rehab process. So he's going to be ready for the fall regardless. So yeah. And that's one of the things that, you know, as soon as it happened, we didn't have to do it right away. We had a little bit of time. Let's rehab it. Let's see how it gets. Let's see if it can get stronger, and maybe he makes a big recovery and he can still play. But, you know, if it was one of those things, it's a year-long recovery, then we'd want to do it as soon as possible. But he's going to be ready for the fall, whether we did it right away or whether we do it, you know, 2 weeks from now, he's still going to be ready for the fall.
By the way, are you still talking about playing the Gators in the fall in Jacksonville?
We're talking about it. You know, it's funny when we get into the season, you know, us coaches, we're either in a really good mood or a really bad mood. So, you know, Sully lost last night, so I'm not going to text him today. I actually thought about that this morning. I'm like, I'm not texting him today. So we're working on it. I know that the city of Jacksonville, the Chamber of Commerce, and, you know, University of Florida, they're all trying to work together to get this done. They want to get it done, but they've always used that stadium as a huge tailgating hub on Friday night and Saturday before the game. So I think what they're trying to figure out is, okay, can we play this game and then still use it for the tailgating event on Saturday? So I don't know. It's still up in the air. We're trying to do it. I think it would be great. It'd be a lot of fun to make it part of that weekend to play Friday evening before Georgia-Florida football. I think that would be pretty cool.
Definitely, definitely. All right, Georgia manager Scott. Wait a minute, Georgia coach,
yes,
Scott.
Head coach.
Yeah, head coach Skip or Strick joining
whatever.
Us. Thanks. Always enjoy the Thursday conversations. We'll see you this weekend, and thanks so much, Scott.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.